Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Here's a new mental health sign to put up over your computer. You don't pay the price for success, Bunky. You pay the price for failure, and the bill comes due daily, especially if you tremble in the face of greatness. That's the untapped power of negative thinking, outlined in a new book entitled Antidote: Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. And the author, our resident contrarian du jour, that's French, is with us. He is Oliver Berkman, who joins us from New York City. Mr. Berkman, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thanks very much for inviting me to talk to you.
And oh, by the way, I'm Christopher Springman, your new best friend, at least for the next, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. You know, may I call you Oliver? Oliver?
Absolutely.
One critic said your book, and I quote, is a witty, fascinating, and counterintuitive read that turns decades of self-help advice on its head and forces us, well, maybe you, to rethink completely our attitudes towards failure, uncertainty, and death. Do you resemble that remark?
I'm very happy with that account of it. I think it's I think these ideas are, I hope they are, surprising and counterintuitive. I think they're not counterintuitive for the sake of it. I also happen to think they're true.
You did a column for the New York Times entitled "The Power of Negative Thinking," speaking of contrarianism, and you described how 21 people were treated for burns after walking barefoot over hot coals as part of an event called Unleash the Power Within, starring the motivational speaker and my new best friend, Tony Robbins. You say that Mr. Robbins encourages firewalkers to think of the hot coals as cool moss, although you also quoted the local fire captain whose folks treated the 21, who said, "We discourage people from walking over hot coals." That's sort of this week's understatement. What is that all about? Why don't you like these people who are trying to put mind over matter, or in this case, common sense?
I think, you know, this is a very extreme end of the positive thinking movement, which I sort of take as my target in this book and try and look at some alternatives. But it's that idea that mindset is everything. It's that idea that with the sheer power of your will controlling your emotions, you can achieve any state you want to achieve and change reality as much as you want to change reality. And I think not only does this not work, but it actually has a sort of built-in counterproductive effect, that all this trying to be positive, trying to be happy, trying to make the world the way you want it to be, actually results in the opposite effect, you know, unhappiness and
Why
not having
you,
the world be where you want it to be.
Would you please read the second paragraph from The Power of Negative Thinking?
Sure. I said that Anthony Robbins and his acolytes have little time for physics. To them, it's all a matter of mindset. Cultivate the belief that success is guaranteed and anything is possible. One singed but undeterred participant told the San Jose Mercury News, "I wasn't at my peak state." But what if all this positivity is part of the problem? What if we're trying too hard to think positive and might do better to reconsider our relationship to negative emotions and situations?
You know, I am torn. I really don't know whose side I'm on here. by the way, the words fair and balanced are not in my vocabulary. I am neither. Let me tell you something. I read a university survey that stated that people who are contrarian, like you, who are hypercritical and generate negative downbeat comments are perceived, listen to this, are perceived of as being smarter, more intelligent, and thoughtful than the stereotypical goody-two-shoes, you know, always look on the bright side of...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the rest of those lyrics. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, I'm not solely saying all this to try to get a reputation as a clever person, but I think that, and I don't know about the specific study that you mentioned, actually, but I think that really what I'm saying is not that we should be negative rather than be positive, that we should criticize, but that we tend to go through life being so uncomfortable with negative emotions, uncertainty, failure, pessimism, sadness, that we try very hard, we struggle against them, and it's in that struggle that the problems come. And I actually think that a lot of the self-help industry, especially the positive thinking wing of it, is really just facilitating that struggle, facilitating that attempt to ignore or squash those negative emotions. And so really what I look at in the book, mainly, I try mainly to be constructive rather than critical, and to look at what I call the negative path to happiness, which is just a whole family of approaches that involve turning towards those negative experiences and emotions, and not trying all the time to run away from them. So I hope it's not solely a attempt to demolish positive thinking, although it is that.
Well, I think
and I don't mind doing that, but I think it's also an attempt, I hope, to suggest something, sketch something out in its place.
Well, you're starting to convert me here. I'm still pretty skeptical. The Guardian referred to your book as an anti-self-help book, but they also discussed the research that you did in such diverse places as San Antonio, Texas, at a motivational seminar, a meditation retreat in Massachusetts, the Day of the Dead ceremonies in Mexico. Tell me, what did you learn from this research? And perhaps you could pull one of those out and expand upon it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the motivational seminar was really my effort to go to, first of all, to go to the heart of this positivity culture, but before then setting off in the rest of the book to look at alternatives to it. And so that's kind of, I think you can probably imagine what that's like, 15,000 people in a basketball stadium.
And guess who was there? The former president of the United States,
George W. Bush, indeed, preaching optimism and how it's always important to convince yourself that everything's going to work out well. The meditation retreat, I think, is an interesting one to talk about, just because, I mean, many of your listeners may have experience of doing that too, but I think that you can really, one interesting way of thinking about meditation is as the opposite of positive thinking, as an attempt to train yourself in being able to be present with whatever comes up in your mind, negative or positive, and to resist the urge, in a sense, to try to manipulate that, to try to make sure that the happy thoughts drown out the sad ones. And it wasn't an easy experience. I spent the first 2 days of that with bad pop song lyrics going around in my head and nothing else, which is its own kind of special kind of torture. But as you may know from experience, I don't know, but after a while something kind of interesting happens, and it is when you realize that you don't have to change conditions in a specific way, that there's something extraordinarily liberating about that.
Well, the mindful people often say that how you interpret an event is the reality of the event itself. And frankly, that's the philosophy that I operate under. And there's really a lot to be said for that, for paying attention, for being mindful and conscious about what's going on in this orbit that we're in.
Right, and I think it's really important to distinguish that from, and that is also an idea, by the way, that I look at in the book as coming from the ancient Greek and Roman Stoic philosophers as well. There's a lot of affinity between the Stoics and the Buddhists, I think. But really important to distinguish that from the modern form of that in positive thinking and allied approaches, which says that because it's your view of the world, your beliefs about the world that condition your experiences, you've therefore got to engage in a sort of lifelong struggle to have the most upbeat beliefs, to never fall back from convincing yourself that everything's going to work out for the best. And this feeds into things like the culture of goal setting, which is another thing I...
And on that happy note, Oliver, the clock has caught up with us. Our guest has been Oliver Berkman, the author of Antidotes, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. Thanks so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health. You're wonderful, and stay positive, dude.
Thanks very much for having me.
I'm Christopher Springman. This is Radio MD.